Seattle's Catholic Archdiocese published a list in January of 77 clergy accused of abusing minors. This week, the Seattle Times followed up on one name on that list, Father Michael Cody. The Times uncovered how the church's own secret files show that high-ranking officials knew early on that Cody was sexually abusing children, but they let him remain a priest in Western Washington for about 20 years. Reporter Lewis Cam told me how it all might still be a secret if one woman had not broken her silence.
Jerry Hubbard is a woman in who lives in Cedar Woolley who grew up largely in Burlington, Washington, and was a parishioner at the St. Charles Catholic Church. And when she was a teenager, she was the oldest of 12 kids, and she had somewhat of a chaotic family life. She was a runaway and had some troubles at home. Her father was a devout Catholic who entrusted her to seek guidance from Father Michael Cody. And during this time, Father Cody groomed her for a sexually abusive relationship. So she came forward 40 years later after she had some severe emotional problems in her life. She met with an attorney and ultimately sued Father Cody and alleged that during the late 60s, he had abused her for 2 years. And during the course of this trial, this hidden or secret file emerged that the Archdiocese knew about Father Cody being a pedophile for several years prior to his abuse of her.
Yes, tell us more about these secret files.
Sure. Well, archdioceses or dioceses across the United States keep these files on individual priests who are accused of sexual abuse. And in Seattle, these files haven't been released in any sort of wholesale way. They kind of, on a case-by-case basis, emerge in individual lawsuits sometimes. Father Cody's files indicate that, you know, in 1962, he was having some severe emotional problems just shortly after he became a priest early in his career. And he admitted to a psychiatrist that he had molested at least 8 young girls. And that psychiatrist in turn informed the archbishop at the time, Thomas Conley, that Cody was a pedophile.
Do the files tell us why Conley made that decision to keep shuffling Cody around?
No, they don't actually tell that, or at least the portions from which I've seen, which emerged into the public record. What they seem to indicate, though, is that, you know, the archdiocese wanted to contain this and thought maybe they could treat this guy, and they certainly didn't want to go public. It wasn't like the archbishop was calling the authorities or anything like that. It was, let's keep him, you know, close by, first at the St. James Cathedral, which is right next to the chancery there on First Hill. And then after about 4 years, he was moved to Auburn, where almost immediately the pastor there complained that this guy, you know, has some severe problems. And he actually said that there's some concern with his familiarity with the 6th and 7th grade girls of that parish school. So they don't really indicate why they moved him around, but from what we know, talking to people and what's gone on in other dioceses elsewhere, the idea was that, you know, they would shuffle these priests around to conceal these problems.
What did Michael Cody ever say about what he did?
Well, later in his career, or I should say after his career, he retired from Seattle in 1979 on disability retirement. He ended up in Florida, and at some point in the late 80s, he wanted to continue being a priest, and he went to the Diocese of Orlando and sought to do some work. He was actually doing some help there. The officials from that diocese contacted the Seattle Archbishop at the time, Raymond Hunthausen, and asked for a recommendation, and he declined it. And at that time, he contacted Cody and told Cody, look, we'd like you to get another psychiatric evaluation, which he did, and the Archdiocese in Seattle paid for. And during that evaluation, he basically admitted to molesting or sexually abusing in some manner up to 41 individuals, and mostly girls, but I believe he also said he abused one boy. So that's kind of what we know that he's admitted to. There may be more than that.
Jerry Hubbard got a settlement of $1.2 million from the Archdiocese of Seattle. Her abuser, Michael Cody, died last year. And you just heard Lewis Cam, who reported the story for the Seattle Times. You heard Cam talk about the secret files of the Catholic Church in the Seattle Archdiocese. So let's find out more about what is in those files. Seattle attorney Michael Pfau has read some of them. He's represented hundreds of victims abused by Catholic priests, including Jerry Hubbard, the woman you just heard about. Michael Pfau told me why the Catholic Church keeps a secret archive in the first place.
Every Catholic diocese or archdiocese in the country, or actually the world, is required under canon law, that's the law that governs the Catholic Church, to keep what's called a secret archive. And the secret archive contains sensitive material, various categories of sensitive material. I've had access to them because they're relevant under civil law to the cases that we're prosecuting. So I've had the opportunity to view a number of them over the course of the last 15 years.
What's in these files?
Generally, UC documents relating to priests who have abused children, and UC documents related to what the church knew and how they handled the abuse.
How they handled it, including covering it up, right?
In some cases, you'll see documents indicating that priests removed from one parish to another without people being put on notice. And then in other documents, you'll see that priests were sent for treatment for their problems. And frankly, I've said this before, I think it would be a great thing for this archdiocese and the Catholic Church to release these files.
Why?
It needs to move beyond this scandal. They have been involved in nonstop lawsuits over the course of the last, and not just the Seattle Archdiocese, all over the country, nonstop lawsuits over the course of the last 15 to 20 years. And I think by opening up its files, by sharing those files with the public, it would go a long, long way to not only helping the survivors heal, but to helping the church heal, to move beyond this. It's a scandal. Move beyond this crisis and this scandal.
But wouldn't that open, don't they keep those files as quiet as they can to prevent even more of these lawsuits?
Well, I mean, that's a question for the Archdiocese, not me.
Or is it for privacy reasons?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the files have been released in other dioceses, and they've been able to redact names and redact information. The public isn't concerned with the public doesn't have a right to know who the abuse victims were. But the documents that show the pattern and practice, I think that would be very helpful to the church. Frankly, I think it'd be a public relations a good public relations move, and it's just the right thing to do.
Why do you think the Catholic Church hasn't released more of these files?
Honestly, I don't know, because to me it seems pretty obvious. But we've gotten to a point where here in Seattle and nationally, lawsuits are in the press, survivors talk in the press, and people, you know, you're asking me about files, and you can Google secret archives and you can read about it, or any of your listeners can read about it. People know about these things. So why not address it more openly? I've talked, and others have, about the 77 names that were released. Okay.
This is from the Seattle Archdiocese.
And other dioceses have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Other dioceses have also released records. Why not release the records?
Attorney Michael Pfau has represented hundreds of victims abused by Catholic priests, and he says that he's planning to file up to 10 new lawsuits soon. We contacted the Seattle Archdiocese, reached out to them yesterday for a response, and again today, and so far we haven't heard back.